So it's Pastor Appreciation Day, and we didn't actually have an opportunity to express our appreciation to everybody. So let me just say some things before I get into this message. Since it's kind of like the Chiefs theme, okay, for this morning, you think about the Chiefs. We have the greatest quarterback in the NFL right now. He's a little dinged up, but he's still the greatest quarterback in the NFL right now. But if he didn't have the players around him that he needs, they're not going to be successful as a team. It's a team. The whole team needs to pull together to work. And then you think about the coaches and you think about the staff and the hundreds and thousands of people it takes for an NFL team to be successful. I just think about all the people it takes to be successful in here. So for Pebble Creek, you know, our head coach and owner of the team is most important above all. And that's what kind of where my message will be this morning is the appreciation to the Lord for everything that he does and who he is. But you think about the staff and, all the things that our staff does, you know, Pastor Dennis and Larry and Sean, just beyond, you know, most of us probably you don't see behind the scenes of all the little things that they do to make sure that everything functions here correctly. And then you think of all of our volunteers. As I look out here, every single one of you that I'm looking at, I know volunteer in some way. You do something for this church. The Pebble Creek cannot be as impactful as it is unless we had the whole team here pulling together. Right, and just like a team, you know, the Chiefs, their main goal is to win a Super Bowl. Right, we have our eye on a prize, to obtain a crown in heaven, to see people won and enter into the kingdom and souls saved and redeemed and then growing in their faith, and that's our mission. And so when we see somebody give their life to the Lord and then they start growing and we see them transformed and we see their family transformed, that is a win. That's a win when we're doing that. And so it takes everybody. It takes everybody pulling together. And so I'm very appreciative of everyone at this church. And the staff and their wives, they're appreciative of all the people that help make this thing function for the glory of God. It's all for Jesus's, for his glory. It's for him. That's why we do the things that we do. And so I want to talk about this morning some things, though, because it's appreciation, right? Appreciation is showing gratitude, is showing, thankfulness for a job well done, let's say. But when we think about appreciating the King, the Lord, things can get in the way of our appreciation if we're not careful, of our gratitude, of our focus on him. Worry and stress and anxiety, those are the tools that the enemy uses to steal your joy, steal your peace, and it makes us less likely to appreciate what God has done. When we allow all those emotions to kind of control us and to overpower us. And so this morning I want to talk about what to do when worry seeks to kill you. When worry seeks to kill you. Living the worry-free life, and how is that possible? Is it even possible? The Word has a lot to say about it, but we even sing songs, and I never really talked to Sean about the worship songs that are going to be sung, but you know, we're saying, I'm trading my sorrow. I'm trading my shame. I'm trading my sickness. I'm trading, my pain. For what? For the joy of the Lord. Right, we're trading all that junk, all that trash, all those trash emotions, and we're trading it for what God has for us because he loves us and he cares about us. In John 10:10, we've been going over this verse a lot the last few weeks, but this is in the New Living Translation. It says the thief's purpose, the purpose of the thief, his mission. We talk about mission and all this stuff. His mission, his purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. He has no other purpose. That is his purpose. That is what he, every day, he tries to find somebody or a family or a marriage or whatever the case may be to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says his purpose, Jesus' purpose, is to give us a rich and satisfying life, a life more abundant, an abundant life, life to the full. That is his purpose. And if that's his purpose for us, and we claim to be Christians, we claim to be walking after the Lord's will and according to the Holy Spirit, we should be experiencing life to the full, a rich and satisfying life. And if we're not experiencing that rich and satisfying life, and you think about, that is Jesus' purpose for us. And so how do we access that? How do we get to that place? Charlie Brown, I don't know if any of you like Charlie Brown or not, but he said this, I have a new, you know, it wasn't really Charlie Brown, it was Charles Schulz, but anyway, I have a new philosophy. I'm only going to dread one day at a time. And that's biblical, by the way. It's biblical. Anxiety, fear, worry, you think about it, that's big issues in our nation today. In the world, really, but you get this thing about our nation. Anxiety, fear, worry, all the time. And medical experts are telling us that the prevalence of anxiety across the country and around the world has reached a crisis level. I mean, people are stressed out. They're filled with worry. Think of how many people are taking antidepressant, anti-anxiety medication that's being prescribed everywhere in society. People are stressed out, and they having an issue on what to do about it. And when things are going, it seems like when things are going bad, right? Circumstances are bad in our life, then we worry how long it's going to take until they're going good. And when things are going good in our life, we worry, when is this going to stop, and things are going to get bad. Right? We're constantly worrying about stuff like that. But Jesus said this, listen to this, today's trouble is enough for today. Today's trouble, that's the last part of Matthew 6:34. He was saying in the first part, don't worry about, you know, tomorrow and the next day and next month and next year. Today has enough trouble of its own. Just focus on today. So in other words, you've got enough problems to face today. Don't bring tomorrow's problems into today. And don't start worrying about tomorrow and the day after and the week and the month after. So what do we do? I mean, the question really is, okay, what do we do when worry hits us? What do we do when we're suddenly filled with anxiety? When you wake up in the middle of the night and you've got all these thoughts on your head and you're stressing out and you're worried about whatever the case may be. What do you do when you're overcome with fear? Fear about your health, fear about a family member, fear about your finances and how you're going to pay the bills this week. And you're being overcome with that fear. I think all of us, me included, we've all experienced those times when we've been filled with anxiety and worry and stress. And the answer is kind of what I mentioned earlier today. We need to take out the trash. We need to take out the trash. You know, again, at our house, it's once a week, trash is picked up. I'm glad about that. And in the same way, we need to give our worries to Jesus Christ. We need to give it to him. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:7, give all your worries and cares to God. That doesn't leave anything out. Whatever you're worried about, whatever is stressing you out, whatever you're caring about, why? Because he cares for you. He cares about the things you care about. But more specifically, more importantly, he cares about you and you and you and all of us. He cares about our families. You know, when we are worried about our kids or our grandkids and the path they're on, or worried about someone else in our family, you can guarantee the Lord cares more about them than we do. And we can give him our cares. Give all your worries, all your cares to God, for he cares about you. Loud down there. Could you run down there and close that door, probably? Who is this addressed to? Believers, right? It's one of the privileges of being a believer in Jesus Christ that we can give all of our cares to him. If you're not in Christ Jesus, if you're not serving the Lord, you can ask for him, and he does care about you. He does love you still. But it's kind of like, you know, I care about people. We're all called to care about everybody, right? Have an interest in everyone's well-being. But to be honest, I care a lot more about my kids, my own kids, and their health and their well-being and whether they're serving the Lord, right? And God, he cares and he loves. God, Jesus died for the whole world, for he loves, so, you know, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But just like us, he really cares about his kids. God really cares about his kids. And so if you want the benefits of having a stress-free life and how that's accessible and possible, it's in Christ Jesus. That's how it's possible. That's how it's possible. And in the when it says give all your worries and cares to God, in the original language, it's talking about a definite act of the will by which we choose to stop worrying. And you think, how can, in the world can you choose to stop worrying? It's the same way we're told to forgive those who've offended us. Forgiveness is a decision. It's a choice that we make. Now, you might say, okay, I chose to forgive this person, but I don't feel like I've forgiven them. I still feel like those are emotions. But the choice you make, it's like salvation even. When I got saved, I prayed to receive Jesus Christ. I didn't have a great emotional experience, and that worried me at the time. I thought, well, I should have this, you know, I should be crying. I should be excited. But I just prayed to receive him, and I prayed probably every day for a week because I thought I didn't do something right. I didn't pray to receive Jesus right. But I found out I did. The emotions can come later, but it's not an emotional thing. It's a decision. So whether it's forgiveness, whether it's salvation, whether it's forgiveness, whether it is worry, you make a decision to do away with it, to stop worrying. And you don't just make a decision to stop worrying. You make a decision to stop worrying and give it to the Lord. And that is really the key, is giving it to God. Let God assume the responsibility for our welfare. Let God assume the responsibility for what you're worrying about. It's essentially saying, I'm deliberately choosing not to worry about this. I'm intentionally throwing this on God, and I'm putting it in his hands. And that would be pretty, you think, well, except for the fact the Word of God says to do that, that's exactly what the Word of God says to do, to cast all that worry on him. If the Word didn't say that, then I could argue, well, I'm responsible to take care of this situation. And God will use you to take care of it, probably, but he wants control of it. He wants control of it. And we're just saying, I'm leaving it in his hands. And you know, just like you don't empty your trash only once a month, you do it every week, sometimes daily. It's the same with our worry. Sometimes you got to keep coming back to the Lord again and again, again and again. And some days you got to bring it to him more than other days. Some days are more stressful than other days, depending on what you're facing in a given moment. But you have to remember, and I have to remember, that God cares about you. God cares about me. He cares about our families. He cares about our marriages. He is mindful of you. He's thinking about you all the time. There's not a moment, a split second, that God is not thinking about you specifically. He is thinking about you, and he's wanting to, like we read at the beginning, Jesus is thinking about you every second. God is thinking about you every second, every day, every week, every month, every year, and he's thinking good thoughts towards you. He's thinking of ways to bless you. He's thinking of ways to give you the life, that abundant life, that life to the fullest. And just let that sink in, that God really does desire your best. Amen. He really does. And he's thinking about you. He's thinking about you. He wants to take your cares. He wants to take your worries and anxieties. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse 28. He says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavily burdened, and I will give you rest. But what's the key to that rest? You got to come to Jesus. You're not going to find it really anywhere else. Jesus says, come to me. If you want to experience rest and peace and freedom from the rat race and all the other stuff and that anxiety, come to Jesus and he will give you rest. He also said this, Luke 12, verse 32. He said, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom." There's three things we learn, probably even more than that, but three things I saw in that verse. One, God is our shepherd. He protects us. He guides us. He leads us. He protects us from the enemy. He's our shepherd. Number two, He's our Father. And He is a perfect Father. He's a good Father. And like a perfect Father, He's always going to do what's in the best interest of His kids. Sometimes we don't understand it. Just like when you're a little kid, you don't understand everything that your parents do. But hopefully you trust them. And if you know that He never makes a mistake. Human fathers, we make mistakes. We do things. We say things in the wrong way or whatever. We mess up. God never messes up. He always makes the perfect decision. He always does what is right. So, and the third thing we learn is that God is our king. You can't give someone a kingdom unless you're the king of that kingdom. He is the king. He's the shepherd, He's our Father, He's our king. And that means we can give Him control of our lives. We can give Him control because we can trust Him. Because nothing, think about this, does anything catch God by surprise? Is there anything that happens that He says, "Oh, I didn't know they were going to do that. I didn't know that was going to happen. What am I going to do now?" No, nothing catches God by surprise. Nothing. And, I mean, He knows it was coming, right? He knew whatever it is you're dealing with right now, He knew that was going to happen. He knew it was coming. And so if something is concerning to you, it's also concerning to Him. And He wants to help you get through it. And the key to that is casting that upon Him. Casting it upon Him. And when it seems like your world is coming apart, here's another thought to remember. God is aware of that. He is aware of where you are in your situation. And remember, you're not alone in suffering. You're not alone. Others have experienced something very similar. There's people around you that have gone through the same thing, or at least something similar. And there's other people that are going through what you're going through right now. And others are going to go through something like you're going through in the future. And the Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 10:13 that no temptation has taken you except what is common to man. God is faithful. Is He faithful? Do you really believe that God is faithful? He is faithful. And He will not permit you to be tempted above what you can endure. But with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. There's always a way of escape out of it. And the first step to escaping is to go to Him. Is to bring it to Him. And so if we're suffering with something and then we find somebody else who has suffered with the same thing or maybe something even worse, it can be a great help to find that person and talk with them that can identify with what you're going through. And that is where community comes in. That's where fellowship comes in. That's the importance of being together. It's where the church family comes in. It's the reason we shouldn't try to be solo Christians. Even the Lone Ranger had Tonto. So we all need a Tonto. Now this popped in my head. It's always dangerous when things like this happen, but it's a funny story. I had a friend when I was on the fire department. And no one really liked this guy. He was hard to get along with. He was always very, we were kind of happy when he left. But, and this was back, you know, I'm still learning how to be a Christian, so I can, you know. So I probably wasn't as Christian as I should have been with him. But he got cancer during this time period that we were working with him. And I don't know if you ever worked with a bunch of guys before, but, you know, Larry can, you kind of, you make jokes about everything. So we called him, you know, he's going through cancer, he's going through the treatment, so our nickname for him was Chemo Sabi. Do you get it, Larry? No, Larry doesn't get it. That's all right. Kemosabe. That was... Never mind. Okay, it's all right. I'll explain it later over lunch. So we need Christian friends. That's the point. We need Christian friends to be around us when we're going through things. We can't isolate ourselves. The enemy wants us to isolate, to pull away from the church and to pull away from people who can speak encouragement and positive things into our life. And the enemy tries to get us alone. Because, you know, if he's the enemy and he's trying to eat some sheep, it's a lot easier to eat the sheep that wander away from the flock, that wander away from the shepherd, right? So when we isolate ourselves, we're in trouble. It's a dangerous place to be. Because when we're not around those who can help us, that's when we can really get into a funk, right? A bad way of thinking, of depression and feeling oppressed and all these negative emotions. And for instance, this happened in the Bible to men and women of God, powerful men and women that were used of God. You look at Elijah after his great victory over the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He made his way to a cave, and then he went into a deep depression. And while he was there, the Lord actually spoke to him and said in 1 Kings 19, verse 9, "Why are you here, Elijah? Why are you here?" And now maybe you didn't go to a literal cave, but maybe you went to an emotional cave. And I think when we're in that emotional cave and we're all by ourselves and we're feeling depressed and we're feeling lonely and like everyone's deserted us and there's nobody that can understand us, I think sometimes God just comes to us and says, "What are you doing here? You have a family of believers that I've placed you in, that I've surrounded you with. Why are you here in this cave by yourself? You need to get back into fellowship. You need to go back. Yes, I'm here. I will never leave you or forsake you." But just like we read about in the book of Genesis, it wasn't good for man to be alone. It wasn't good for man to be alone. God was with them, wasn't he? Wasn't God with Adam? But he knew we needed other people around us. And we need other people around us now. Even when we don't feel like coming to church, we don't feel like going to that fellowship event, we don't feel like staying for the potluck after this morning's service, I always think, what would Jesus want me to do? He'd want you to go to church. He'd want you to stay in fellowship. He'd want you to go to that prayer meeting. He'd want you to go to that Bible study. But we have so many excuses for why we don't do those things. And then we wonder, oh, why am I feeling so depressed? Why do I feel like, you know, I don't know what to do with this and I feel so lonely? Well, God's given us the way of escape. And many times it's just making ourselves be around other believers to encourage us. And I found that, you know, low lows often follow high highs. You've just had a great breakthrough. You just had God just answered a prayer. He just did something wonderful. You just had the greatest, you know, quarter of business in your life. And then a lot of times that what follows that is a low low. And Elijah had a big moment, and then he returned to reality. But God is near, and he will be with us if we call out to him. And this is what he says in Isaiah 41:10. "Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." We need to meditate on that. If you're feeling alone, you're feeling depressed, you're feeling do not fear. That's almost a command. Do not, it is a command. Do not fear. Why? Because I am with you. God is with you. Do not be dismayed. You ever feel dismayed? You didn't know what to do? You don't know what the solution is? You don't know how to move forward? God knows how to move you forward. God knows everything that you need to do that needs to happen. He says, "I will strengthen you. I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." That's a promise. We can stand on that. We can stand on that. Now, I heard about, as I wrap up this morning's sermon, I heard a story about a man who came face to face with the dangers of worry. And one day, he saw death marching toward a city, and he said, "What are you doing?" And Death said, "I'm going to take 100 people today." "That's horrible," the man said. So he ran ahead and he warned everyone that death was coming at the end of the day. And as the sun was setting, the man saw Death leaving the city, and he said, "Wait a second, you told me you were going to take 100 people, and 1,000 people died today." "I kept my word," Death said. "I only took 100. Worry took the rest." And that is what worry can do. We all know the negative effects of worry. And if you're dealing with depression or anxiety or fear this morning, what we have to do is take our eyes off ourselves and what we're going through and look up to heaven and look upon Jesus for help that we need. And we need to remember this: you're not alone. Despite your circumstances or certain challenges that you might be facing, despite everything in life that you're dealing with, remember that God has his eye on you, and he cares about you. He loves you. He does have a plan for you. So give all your worries to him. Just give them to him. Would you stand? Lord Jesus, God, we thank you for your word that promises that if we have any worry, any anxiety, we're to cast those burdens upon you. That's what you tell us to do. So right now, Lord, I'm praying for everyone in here that is feeling worried, depressed, stressed out. They don't know what is going to happen tomorrow or this week, and they're just worried about that. I pray, God, and I just pray we just give that to you and trust you, Lord. We trust you. Help us, Lord, deal with all of these issues. Lord, but we also realize that this is a privilege. It is a blessing, especially for those of us who have a living relationship with you. So right now, I'm praying for anyone in here that knows they do not have a living relationship with Jesus Christ. If you know in your knower that you might have grown up in church, you might have been in church in and out your whole life, but right now you know there's no relationship there. Relationship is not built on rituals, it's not built on traditions, it's built on confessing your sins and believing in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. It's a relationship. It's not a religion. It's not going through the motions of religion. It's having a living relationship with Jesus Christ, with God Almighty through his Son. And so if you're here this morning and you know you need to get right with God, that you need a relationship, because without it, you're on your way to hell. And that, again, that's not God's will for you. God doesn't send you to hell. We send ourselves to hell by refusing to put our trust in him. So if you're here this morning, you need to believe. You know you want a relationship. I'm just going to ask you to put your hand up until I see it, and you can put it right back down. Anybody in here that wants to give their life to Christ Jesus this morning? Jesus. Just a few more moments. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this day. It's an exciting day. It's a good day of fellowship, Lord. What a blessing it is to be able to be in the house of the Lord and with like-minded people, Lord, that believe in you, that trust in you. And I pray right now, God, as we go downstairs from here, Lord, that all of our worries are left up here for you to take care of. That we go down, we're able to just enjoy time together, a blessing, Lord. Lord, it's one of the things the early church devoted themselves to, which was fellowship and the breaking of bread, eating together. So I just pray, God, your blessing upon our fellowship, your blessing upon this food that we're about to partake of, God. We love you. We trust you, God. Help us, Lord Jesus, to trust you more every day. In Jesus' name. Amen.